What country did you come from? Name the town.
Cornella. Cornella. Well, I'll tell you. It was changed then to Ustinga. Probably knows more the people. It was, you heard of Uman Bazaar, big city.
All right. Now, let's call it Cornelia, and it was changed to Ustingrad.
Yes.
Was it a village or a town?
It was a town.
All right. What was your house like that you lived in?
It was a very beautiful home. It was a very beautiful home. I took it from.
What was it like? You know, rooms and stuff.
We had a most beautiful living room, which was a dining room, and the living room just had a great big beautiful table, and a great big lamp, and down, sometimes the big place. We used about 3 pounds of kerosene a week in order to light it.
Who lived in the house with you?
Well, my parents and the children.
How many brothers
we had? We had six. Three girls, three boys.
All right, so you had two sisters. They were older than you?
No, one was older and younger.
And your brothers?
The two oldest children were two brothers. And the youngest one.
How long did you live in this house?
I lived all my life. Until I came to America.
How old were you?
About 16.
Mm-hmm. Was it a fairly big town?
Very small.
A small town. Was it was it mostly a Jewish community?
Well, there was a Jewish community.
Did you live in the shtetl?
Yeah, we lived in the shtetl. And all four villages connected with this town were occupied by peasants.
All right, now did you work? No. What about your father? What did he do?
He was a banker.
Of what?
Of wheat and flour. He used to buy carloads and sell it to the merchants that needed it, but cattle to feed.
That was his total, that's how he made his living? Would you say he did fairly well on it?
Very good.
He did well on it? What language did you speak at home?
Yiddish.
And what was your education?
Very limited.
Very limited. But can you tell me, in Europe, what school did you go to?
We didn't go to no school. We had a higher teacher, which was a student in a technical school, like some of the tech, also in Kia. And when he would come, on his vacation, that you would get about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
That was the time that
he
was teaching us. He was teaching us Russian. In English, we learned from a teacher, also private teacher.
That was our failure.
Yeah.
So how many years did he come to you?
He came for about 8 years.
And taught everybody in the family?
Not everybody, the three girls, because the boys were older, and they, especially the brothers had a very good education in Talmud. They were better educated than the girls. In those days, they didn't
believe. More necessary.
They knew, in those days, if a girl could write a Yiddish letter, and maybe a little bit of the Chumash. And could say the prayers, you know.
That was good.
Right now, because some of them didn't speak any.
Let's hear if any. Now, what was the synagogue like? Do you remember?
We had a shul. It was the most beautiful I've ever seen one in America. It was the most beautiful shul. And I remember when I was a kid that they had a blue decorated. So they brought the houses, painters from Germany, to do the shul.
Was it big?
It was very big. So it had, it had well, we had a few smaller bismethos that are called. Because, you know, you never found there was a couple of times.
Yes, of course.
So the shul was for the general public. But there were a few, like, we had a few chapters on the screen schedule. And one was an Islander, another time from another set. One was from Tolnum, one was from Kusik, from the rabbi, the rabbi's Kusik. One was from Tolnum, one was from Mamet Bruce.
Did you go often?
But, oh yeah. Did
girls go often to the
Well, they used to go mostly in the holidays.
I don't
stay all the women were alive at the moment. Otherwise, we had two smaller sections that you would have to go to. Or the balcony, you have to go on the balcony in order to go into the women's sanctuary. You had on both sides, and the shul itself was about three floors high. And the palermo was built from the floor down. Up the way, up to the top. The top was like, you know, it was in like an oval around. And way at the top, I never forget, was like the moon and the stars.
And you had it on the ceiling?
On the ceiling was blue. And the moon, the stars, and gold. And the top was the eagle of the Russia. The main emblem that was up in them. And I remember going up to the yard, the people, going up to the yard, we had two big lines set, and one on one side of the floor, the other on the other. But the whole thing was, the palace was so beautiful. I remember of my life. And around the balcony where they had the women's shoes, they had windows. And they were open, so I know that they need the husband for the boys there.
Oh, I see.
See, because they were sitting there,
they
were sitting there,
but they could hear.
They could hear.
What were
they? And the yard was just beautiful. And the bima was in the center of the tour.
Oh, I see, it wasn't up front.
No, it was in the center.
Oh, I see, people sat around it there.
And Aram, see, Aram, see. Around the women's balconies was the whole wall for all the 10 types, pictures of the 10 types of people. One side five people. So. And for me, I haven't seen anything like that. Well, I haven't seen any art in America very much. But this was really a piece of art. We met from all kinds around people who came to the school time.
Tell me, what were your relationships with Gentiles in your community?
Very good. Very good, because my father, he had business with people, that for business people. Like he dealt with people that used to sell cattle, carloads of cattle, and they would buy seeds from them. You know, ground, it was ground from certain kernels that they used to feed the cattle. They would buy all carloads of my father. And they were Gentile people. They would buy that for them.
Did you belong to any political organization, or did your father belong to a Zionist, or were born to a labor?
Well, we didn't belong to any. We had, my father was a Zionist, in fact. My father and my oldest brother went to Turkey. Then Israel was under Turkish mandate, whatever you call it. And they went there to look it up at the sea, because my father wanted to settle there. And I remember as a child, when Dr. X survived, and my father came home, and he had a picture of my eyes of Dr. Rex, or of Moshe Montefiore, of another great Jew that used to contribute a lot for me.
But they didn't belong to any order?
No, we didn't have an Hasidic, we didn't have an
Orthodox. What about the relationship of the government, of the Russian government to the Jews? What was it like?
Wasn't good, like everything else.
What in particular that was bad about it? I can imagine, but you tell me in your words.
First of all, we didn't even have a school. We had a school for the Gentile children for about 5-6 months a year. And we had
that was
from
the Gentiles. Even the Gentiles.
The Gentiles. But they weren't interested. Those that were the intelligentsia of the city, of the Gentiles, they used to send us those children to a different town.
Oh, I see.
We had schools.
Tell me anything else that was bad about the Russian relationship to you, Jews?
Well, the truth of the matter was, as I said, we weren't poor people. We lived very comfortably.
You think that made a difference?
We had everything we needed, except education and 3 years of pogrom.
But you did, even being well or better off, you still were feared.
It was fear all the time. In fact, my father went to America secretly that nobody would know. The reason he did it is because people in our town, or especially a rabbi that was very good friends with him, they think he's crazy. He got crazy. But he took my oldest brother, which was 19 years old, and he went to a different town, to the big town, and he bought himself a ticket. There, they had an office, ticket office to buy the transportation to America. He got himself a ticket. And my brother took him to the train and he left. And then my brother came home, and my mother asked him, why are you home yourself, where's father? He said, we had to wait at the Shabbos for a merchant to come in from another town. He didn't come in. And you know, he assumed it, so he said, wait, he stayed at the Shabbos. And Sunday, he'd be home. But Sunday happened to be poor on that year. And he didn't come. So my mother questioned the brother. He said, well, tomorrow, the next day, we got a letter from Daddy that he's paid the border already. He didn't come out.
Well, tell me, what did you think of America when you were over in Europe? What did you know about it? Maybe your father wrote to you and told you about it.
Well, one thing, my father didn't want to go. And he was here. We wanted to go.
What did he tell you about it? What did other people tell you? So
well, my father came to America in 1905.
What did he tell you about it? Did he give you an idea?
He painted a picture very black. He knew that he loved girls as well. Healthy, beautiful. And when he came to America, he came to Buffalo and he saw girls coming out of the factories. And you know, in those days, they didn't have the techniques like they have today. And the girl came out of the factory, she looks fresh. And he says, this was these words.
Well, what else?
He says, in our town we built, our mason looked better than the girls that come out of the factory.
You what?
He says,
the mason.
What? The mason that we bury.
Oh.
He's the dad that we bury in our town.
In other words,
looks nicer than the girls that come out.
He didn't paint a pretty picture
no,
of America.
No, he didn't want us. But he appreciated the freedom of America.
All right, so why did you leave Europe? Tell me. Why
we
did
wanted to come to America, that's all. My father decided to come home first, and then again, the picture on Russia wasn't good. And
why did he
this is the reason he left, because it was pogroms in that year.
Is that why he left?
That's
he went to pave the way to begin with.
Yeah,
on his own. Did he know people there?
He didn't know. He didn't go to anybody that he knew.
Well, what did he do? Did he do the same
thing? He came first to Buffalo because we had a lunchman in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And he stayed there for a short time. Then we had a cousin in Pittsburgh. He decided to come to Pittsburgh. So he came to Pittsburgh.
He actually sent for you then?
Sure.
All right, so that is why you, that's why you came to America. And when you left, of course, you knew you were coming to Pittsburgh. When you left Europe, did you know you were coming to Pittsburgh? Or you were coming just to America?
No.
All right.
We had the passports to go. We didn't go like my father did. Yeah. Other people that have to
you didn't
the
have
border.
To sneak over.
No.
Well, tell me, were you part of a group traveling together?
When we came here?
Yes. You were with your family, your mother,
Yeah, we were, you brought along, came with my mother, because my second oldest brother was here before. My father was here 3 years, and my second brother was at the age to go to the army. Oh. So you came here before.
I see.
So he was here. And then we came, my mother and brought along.
All right, but were you part, but you were a family group, were you part of an immigrant group too?
Naturally, because of me.
No, I mean when you left there, when you part of, did you just come on your own, you got your own tickets, you weren't part of?
We came on our own.
All right, so tell me, how did you get from your town to the port? What port did you sail from?
From Bremen.
In Germany. How did you get to Germany, to Bremen?
By train. We got by train all the way from, we came to a town about 30 miles from us, to the railroad.
Uh-huh.
And we got on around there, a month after, we came all the way to Bremen by, we stopped in one town, in Mistelitz. Mm-hmm. We stopped, but we came to Bremen. We stayed in Bremen from Sunday till Thursday, and Thursday got on the boat.
What class did you go? Were there classes on the ship?
We didn't go to the ship. So the second class.
That's sort of in between. Well, there must have been third class, too. What'd you bring with you? Remember?
Not much. Just our own belongings.
Any household things with you?
No, the exceptions. Our mother's candles. So no household goods except blankets, pillows, No.
Any other objects, these papers besides your passport?
No.
No other certificates or documents. Okay, who met you when you landed in America? Oh, by the way, where did you land? In New York?
No. You couldn't hide the
ship? Well, no, you couldn't leave the ship.
The ship landed in Philadelphia.
I see. And did someone meet you there?
No.
What did you do? You got on a train?
I'll tell you. And we came there. And that was the first time we saw college. In the quarter. My sister, in Russia, you're going to be called this.
No one will understand it. So no. So tell me.
It's the first time we read Uncle Tom's Cabin in Russia.
In Russian.
So when I saw that, I said, my sister, you see, I guess this is Uncle Tom's Cabin.
How did you get, did you take a train to?
We took the train from Philadelphia and came to the United States. And my father met us on a Thursday morning. We said, raining. We came the first day after Washington. Because they kept us another day on the ship. Because on the country holiday, they didn't let us stop.
I see. Did your name change? Let's not talk about
father.
Your father changed his name. What was his name originally?
His last name?
Yes.
It was Kutoransky.
Kutoransky.
Yes.
How do you spell that? Well, just give me what it begins with.
C-H.
Oh, Kutoransky. All right, and what did he change it to?
Feinberg.
Oh, why did he do that? Such a far cry.
He had friends and they thought it was a nice name to change to.
I see. All right, tell me. You told me what first impressed you in Philadelphia, the black people. Anything else that you
it impressed us? It depressed us.
Just that?
Because it depressed us because not one other kind of black in the country was built in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia. I'm
and
just thinking about
filled in the dirt when we landed. It was a rainy, smoky day.
That was Pittsburgh.
And you never in your life saw anything like it. It rained with mud.
Oh, dear.
And, this was Philadelphia, but when we came to Pittsburgh, it was a smoky day, too.
And it wasn't raining mud, though,
it was raining, too. And my father met us in an apartment that we had already rented.
Where was that?
In Fuller Street. 151 We didn't live too many places in Pittsburgh.
We didn't.
Do you
remember anything else about that first day?
Well, depressing, very depressing. Because We came into our apartment earlier in the day. We passed something.
How long did you
When we left the home, like a palace.
Well, how did he find that apartment, by the way?
He found it was a four-room in our bathroom. We didn't have a bathroom. It was in a bathroom. But we didn't stay too long. We stayed there about 5 months.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved. At that time it was called Vine Street.
Vine?
Yeah, but now I think it's called. It's a park.
Is it in
Miller Street? It's on the
hill.
Off Miller Street. And it was a fairly new apartment, so we got a
That was an improvement then, wasn't it?
And we got a nice, was that a fairly new building.
Did you stay there a little bit longer?
We stayed there. We didn't stay there too long. We stayed there less than a year, or maybe 1 year. And my father bought a bed in 56, 58 houses. And we moved there.
Arthur Street, also in the same area.
You know why Arthur Street, you know, Central Avenue?
Oh, yes, it's still, it's the upper hill.
Yeah, it's about 1700 or 1600 or so.
Yes. All right. There was one thing that disappointed you about the first 5 years in America, wasn't it? It was the dirt and your change. Anything else that disappointed you about America?
It wasn't very happy. The reason it wasn't happy was this. We couldn't speak the language. And it sounded, you know, when you don't understand the language, it sounds happy. And when we couldn't get no help. We started the school the next month, and we came Thursday, and we started the night school.
To night school. We started right away, from Thursday to Monday. Where did you go?
We went to Franklin night school.
How long did you go there?
I went there for about 3 years, until I graduated.
Did you get a
certificate? Then I went to the Catholic high school for 1 year.
Uh-huh.
Night
off.
Because I worked. Yeah.
I see. So you continued after your certificate?
Yeah. I went for 1 year after Franklin. To 3 years
to the other.
To the
front.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think you were ever unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No. I can't say that.
All right. Then don't. Mm-hmm. Do you think you accomplished something? Or, after all, actually, your father was responsible for bringing you over. Do you think your goals in coming here were pretty well set by 5 years in America? Talking about your first 5 years, do you think your father or you had accomplished what you set out in coming here?
We were very happy with my father, because we didn't see him for 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the most joyful man. He was such a personality that I can't compare him to anything.
So well.
I have a daughter who should be well. She has his disposition.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody was his friend. Nobody could come in to see the girls that were on his friend.
In other words,
unfortunately, he died of an error. She was 56 years old, and that was talking about. But
you would say that you were a family again.
We were a family again. We had a very, very happy home. We had a lot of friends.
And
everybody
you
was
feel
my father's friend.
You feel relieved from the strains of fear of treatment of
this? Well, we were children, didn't feel. Even he could see the situation as well as my father saw it, because after all, he was a grown-up man with responsibility, and the situation was to become bearable.
I imagine. What was the first kind of work you did when you came to Pittsburgh?
I learned to make stoves.
Cigars.
Yeah, three of us, all the three girls, we learned to make stoves.
Where did you learn this? In a factory?
In a factory, a soda factory, and
really?
A Miller Street company. I think a Miller Street company.
Is that where you actually worked?
Yeah. And we worked for 6 weeks for nothing.
That was training.
Yeah.
And then what'd you get paid?
Well, that all depends how fast you were.
You
got
paid
by the humble.
What did that blow? By the 100 cigars. Did you roll them?
Roll them. If you made the humble, you got, I think, 18 cents or 15 cents. And we were pretty fast.
Uh-huh.
I could make 50 numbers a day. Because we get in there 7 o'clock in the morning, He had a little time for lunch to go home, because the ministers used to go home for lunch and come back to work at 6. And rush home and get came back and go to school. At the bike around the school for night school.
Marvelous, I tell you.
We had plenty of people that
did you
used to laugh and say, oh, what are you trying to grab?
Well,
it was hard. I'll tell you, we didn't have one person that we could ask to explain us, to teach us. You know, you get 10 words from the teacher, the Bible and dictionary, and English and Russian to explain it. But the teacher named the figure, he showed us an object, like a ball or a marble. She had to write it, she wrote on the blackboard, and she showed us the object. Otherwise,
really
we didn't know what it meant.
Conversation, though, did it?
They had a different method.
Well, how did you actually
teaching.
Learn to speak English so well and to write it?
You learned? I told you I went to school.
Well, I mean, that's what I wanted to know. Did you learn? You said it, that the language difficulty was your biggest, one of your bigger problems. After those 4 years of night school altogether, the three and then the one, is this where you really actually accomplished your good command of the language?
I'll tell you the truth. It gave us the background and to learn.
Yeah.
But the most important is conversation English. If you learn a language and you don't converse in it.
In other words, night school gave you the background that you could talk to people and be understood and then learn from them?
It was very difficult, and the people today didn't even understand. Because where we worked, it was old men and girls that came at the same time we did. They couldn't speak English, and some of them were even laughing because we were so involved in night school.
Did you have to work on Saturdays and holidays?
No. That's what we learned. That.
Right. What about, was there any trade union? Did you belong to a trade union?
After about the last year, they organized a union, which we weren't there longer in it because my sister got married about 8 months before
and
me.
What kind of union was it?
It was IWW, they organized it, just called the Industrial Workers of the World.
Did you remember how long you worked in that factory?
I worked for about 3.5 years.
Tell me, what became your life's work?
Where?
In Pittsburgh.
After I got married.
Well, did you do any other work? I mean, did you have another career, or was housewife and mother your career?
Well, we bought a business. That's what we told me over a year.
Uh-huh.
And I quit the business.
What kind
for 2 years. We bought a confectionery and food.
But your life's
work.
And
then my two, you mean like organization?
No, not really, no. I meant your...
Outside of my home and children.
Right, you're...
I didn't do anything else.
Okay.
This was a pretty cool job.
That's exactly what I want to know. Now here comes a question which floors me. If you could live this part of your life over, would you go into some kind of work, or would you have done anything differently? Those first 5 years when you were, you know, learning the language, would you have done something else if you could have?
If I could. I probably would, but I didn't have the mastering of the language.
Do you have any Gentile classmates?
No, we didn't. We didn't, because you could find 1,500, 2,000 people in the night school in those days.
Yeah, and they were all.
In fact, we were sitting. In a kindergarten class, I remember they put us in, and the girls were very, very happy. They couldn't sit in the wheelchairs, you know.
Children's chairs.
They had to put on extra chairs, and all the people today, like Judge Lenchner, he was teaching us night school because he was a student at that time himself.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of teachers that were going to be a doctor, to be an attorney.
And they were working with you.
They were the people that were teaching at night.
That sounds
the
good.
The regular teachers, they didn't have too many teachers at that time, and they had to...
You didn't go to any cheder in America, did you?
No.
Alright, did you like
me? I didn't go to any cheder, no, I didn't. But I'll tell you, when we came to America, and my father was before you, before us, and in our time, he spoke a very bad English.
Mm-hmm.
Terribly Yiddish.
Yeah.
So when he came to America, he says, you have to start reading something. You got to read something. Mm-hmm. You can't read English. Don't understand.
There's no use
reading Russian when you come to America.
Well.
So what can we do? We have to learn how to read a paper, a English paper. And I really learned. I can read English paper.
You learned the
government.
You learned the Yiddish that was spoken here then.
And my father used to say, you can't even know English. He says, you talk such a bad Yiddish. You don't even know Yiddish. So we started to learn really. I learned Yiddish.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did you go, did you like music in those early days?
Really.
Did you go to concerts or the opera?
Well, I didn't go. We used to go to concerts. In those days, we were blessed with the Yiddish theater. That used to come very often to the Mexico. They used to come Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night. And we'd go, because we take the seats on the second afternoon, and we'd go.
Did we miss some of the things that you saw?
We saw the Hadlers, the Tamashevskis, there was a Madame Lipton, which was a great actress, the Gables, all the good actors, Maurice Schwartz, we never missed. And in fact, there was some people, then they built a theater where they tore down the theater that was there.